Now, in the days when I was a counselor in a public school, one of the things that I did with great frequency was lunch duty. Texas, the state of Texas, requires that all public school teachers have a duty-free lunch. That means that if you're a teacher, you don't have lunch duty unless you have some other period over there that you don't have to work, and that doesn't happen. And so if you are not in a classroom, you are doing lunch duty. Now, I got to tell you, lunch duty can bring out the worst in people. I just want to get that clear. If you've spent any time in a school cafeteria, I think you'll know that that's true. And the fact is, the kindest, sweetest, gentlest, most compassionate person can forget all that when he or she is serving at lunch duty. And so every year, especially when I was in the middle school, this was the lunch duty dance for the first couple of weeks. I would walk between the aisles of the tables, and I would see some trash on the floor, and I would stop, and I would say, "Would someone pick that trash up?" And they'd just sit there and look at me. So then I would find a victim. "Pick the trash up, please. It's not my trash." "I know. I know it's not your trash. But would you please pick it up? You're not my mama." "I'm aware that I'm not your mama. In fact, I know your mama, and I'm not she. Please pick up the trash." And they would say, "Well, that's the maid's job. They're supposed to do that." I said, "Well, you know, the maids have a whole lot of other work to do, and picking up trash that kids drop on the floor is really not part of their job." "Well, I don't have to pick it up. Could you just do it to prove that you're a good citizen?" And nobody would move. And so finally, I would pick out a really big kid, and I would say, "You know, you look like you could handle that trash. It's not that heavy." I would have to get a little sarcastic. Everybody would start laughing. I was not going to move. Finally, someone would pick it up, glare at me as if a glare is going to change my mind. And they would take the trash, and it would go to the trash can. Now, I had to do this for many days running. But after about, say, 3 or 4 weeks, I didn't have to even ask anymore. I could just walk by and point on the floor, and somebody would pick it up, and life would go on. After probably 5 or 6 weeks, trash on the floor was not even an issue. Most of them had finally figured out that it was a lot better if they would just pick it up before being told. Now, this was not a perfect world. Sometimes they needed a refresher course. They would kind of forget that it was their civic duty to help keep the cafeteria orderly and clean. But for the most part, they had learned that the voice of Mrs. Haley was not punitive in this situation. It was only trying to get them to be better. They learned not only to recognize my voice, but they learned to trust my voice. To trust that I was not asking them to do something hurtful or harmful, but instead I was asking them something to help them become better kids in school. Now, today's passage begins with a time change and a weather report. We find ourselves at the Feast of Dedication. We call that Hanukkah in our world, but at the time it was called the Feast of Dedication. It also tells us that it's winter. So we can see from that we have gone from the previous passage. Some time has elapsed since that happened. In verse 22 to 30, we find that Jesus is trying to explain yet again what it means to be a follower of Christ. But some people still just didn't get it. And so they say, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah or not?" Now, I don't know about y'all, but I have to confess, I like plain talk. It's a good thing I live in Mason, right? I like plain talk. I want to know, here's what it is, so that I know what I'm dealing with. And so the people there, I don't think that was such a terrible question. But if you've spent any time reading the Gospel of John, have y'all read the Gospel of John? if you're a I want it this way or that way person, you probably get frustrated when you read the Gospel of John because it's a little murky and there's lots of symbolism. And so in John's Gospel, he sets it up that the people who want a right or wrong answer are frustrated, and he knows that. And so Jesus then finally looks at them and says, well, I did give you an answer. You asked me and I told you. The works that I perform in my Father's name are how you know that I am the Messiah. It might not be enough to convince you yet, but you don't believe, not because I haven't answered your question, but because you are not my sheep. Now, some people might think that Jesus is excluding sheep and saying you're not in the exclusive club. But the fact is, the people who were asking excluded themselves. We know in our day, and they knew then, that you make a choice to follow Jesus. I've said so many times that faith is a decision. So you decide you're going to follow Jesus. And if you decide you're not going to follow Jesus, guess what? You're not one of his sheep. Yet. There is no expiration date. Jesus allows any and all to be his sheep as long as they are willing to say, I'm ready. And then in verse 29, Jesus says, my Father who has given those sheep to me is greater than all, and so no one can snatch them away from me. The Father and I are one. Now that last statement, the Father and I are one, that's what really got the Pharisees all riled up. So that by verse 31, they are reaching down on the ground, picking up stones, ready to stone Jesus for blasphemy. But put yourself in their place for a minute. That might sound blasphemous to those people who think they have everything figured out. Well, here's what C.S. Lewis said about that statement. He said, we must think of the Son always, so to speak, streaming from the Father, like light from a lamp, or heat from a fire, or thoughts from a mind. He is the self-expression of the Father, what the Father has to say, and there was never a time that he wasn't saying it. And so maybe that helps us just a little bit. The light and the lamp are two different things, but it's hard to separate one from another. If you have a fire, you can't not have heat, right? And you can't have a thought unless the mind is involved. And so that's what Jesus is saying there. The Father and I are one. And Jesus could do nothing at all unless he heard the voice of God telling him. Now, the Pharisees wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, but only so that they could refute it once he said it. They had not learned to recognize his voice as the voice of God. Instead, they were thinking about what they were going to say once he finished talking, so that they were never able to really, really listen to him. But we know this, sheep know their shepherd. I bet every one of us in here knows for a fact that all sheep, in fact, all livestock for that matter, believe that the voice that guides them sounds like the horn of a pickup truck. Am I right? That's what they all think the voice that guides them is. But they don't come out knowing that. They have to learn it. And we all have to learn to recognize the voice of God if we are to be his sheep. Now we're gonna watch a short video here, and Rhett's gonna get that up here for us. It's a Peanuts video. It's a minute and 35 seconds.
She said my name. Did you hear that? Did you hear how she said my name?
Of course she said your name. She was calling the roll.
But it's more than that. I feel that Miss Offmore really likes me.
Don't be ridiculous. To her, you're just another student.
On the contrary, I have the feeling I'm somebody special. Yes, ma'am? want me to pound the erasers?
Yes, Miss Othmar. I'd be glad to.
Thrillsville.
See, I told you. Miss Othmar must like me. It's a privilege to be selected to pound erasers.
Some privilege.
I can't get my Valentine in the box. Is it all right if I give it personally?
Miss Othmar, is it okay if Linus presents his Valentine personally? She says it would be delightful.
She said it would be delightful!
I've been so tired lately. I think I may have a fever. Feel my forehead? Is it warm?
Yes, it does feel a little warm.
The teacher wants to know what you two are doing.
Yes, ma'am. I told Janice she should go home or see the nurse. No, ma'am. I'm not a doctor.
Can we understand the teacher's voice in Peanuts videos? No, because grown-ups can't understand that kind of talk. Only the kids can. But in that video, we notice that not all of the children can understand what the teacher's saying. Is that right? In that first little bit, when Linus is sitting there and he says, "The teacher said my name." Sally says, "Well, yeah, she's calling roll." But Linus says, "It's more than that. I think that teacher likes me. I think she makes me feel like I'm more special." And then what happens? We find out that the proof is in the pudding, because what does the teacher ask Linus to do? Pound the erasers. Now, I feel sorry for you if you're a kid today and you don't get to go out and pound erasers. How many of you, when you were a kid in school, got to go pound the erasers? Put your hands high so I can tell who the favorite kids were. Yeah, the teacher always called on the favorite kids to go pound erasers, right? It was like a free ticket. That was my favorite thing to do. Take all those erasers and really take my time. Go outside in the middle of school day and pound those erasers. Linus knew that the teacher loved him because she gave him a responsibility that helped everybody else. And he could understand her voice in a way that Sally could not. In that next scene, Linus comes up with his Valentine, and Schroeder says, "This is what the teacher's saying." You see, Schroeder acts as an interpreter for the teacher at this point. Because you see, God gives us people in our lives who give us those messages from God if we can't quite get them. And then in the last one, we find out even Charlie Brown can understand the voice of the teacher. And he tells Linus what the teacher is saying. God puts people in our lives to help us recognize the voice of God when we are not able to do it. Some people say, "Well, I know God speaks, never talks to me." I have to tell you that there have been times in my life where I heard an audible voice speaking to me. There have been people all through the years, way before I was ever a pastor, who shared stories with me about God said this or that to me. Now, I never ask any questions. I just listen. Who am I to say that God's not talking to someone? And here's the beautiful thing. Right in this room, and certainly within the bounds of this whole congregation, there are many, many, many people who hear the voice of God. We can tell they hear God because of the works that they perform, because of the ways that they walk through relationships with others, loving and forgiving, no matter what. Bringing God into the conversation and saying, "Well, in this verse of the Bible, it says this or that." Those people are in tune with the voice of God. And so if we are the ones who are saying, I can't understand what God says, I never hear God talking, we align ourselves with those that we know can, so that we can learn to draw closer to God through quiet, through prayer, but by hearing a word that God brings in. And we then are able to share that message with others when we hear God. Now, you know as well as I do that sometimes on the news we see things where somebody has killed someone and they say, God told me to do it. Have you all seen that kind of thing? If you're a person who says, well, see, that's exactly why I don't go to church, because God tells people to kill others. You don't know God very well. Or if you're a person who says, well, that's why I don't trust God, because what if God tells me to kill someone? You don't know God very well. But if you're the person who says, God would never tell anyone to kill or harm another human being, you know who God is. Because we have to know how God acts. We have to know God so intimately that we can know how he will act and what he will say in any given situation, just like we know the people in our lives. Moms and dads know that in a crowded room, you can hear your kid's voice above everybody else's. Is that right? Am I right? Yeah, no. You know that when they were babies, I know that almost every parent does this. A baby starts crying, and the parent either goes, oh, they're all right. Or, oh, wait a minute, that's something to worry about. We learn that about the people in our lives. Jesus is asking us to learn to hear him just as well, just as intimately as we hear the folks in our lives. God continues to speak to his people even today, although there are a lot of voices competing to be louder than the voice of God. And we know that Elijah heard the voice of God as a small voice, as a gentle whisper. So God, I think we can say, is not a yeller. I think we can say that God comes to us gently and with love and forgiveness and compassion in his voice. God's voice is not one of condemnation or ridicule. God's voice is not one of hurtfulness or harm. God's voice is filled with love. And like the Pharisees, we can decide, are we going to listen for that voice? Are we going to listen for some other voice? And every single one of us follows some kind of voice. But if we're not following the voice of God, we're not his sheep. We're somebody else's sheep, but we're not the sheep that Jesus is taking care of. And so how do we walk through our lives able to say, I follow the voice of God? It's either by hearing it ourselves or by aligning ourselves with those we know can hear the voice of God. I encourage every one of you to take the time to study the word, to pray, but above all, to look at the folks right here around you. You know who they are. I can name names, but I'm not going to do that. You know who they are. Align yourselves with the folks you know. Follow the voice of Christ. And listen, because Christ has a word for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.